life itself and the best heart of it thanks you for this great care. I stood at the level of a full charged Confederacy and give thanks to you that choked it.
Let me call before us that gentleman of Buckingham's. In person I'll hear him his confessions justify, and point by point the treasons of his master he shall again relate. Room for the Queen!
Nay, we must longer kneel. I am a suitor.
Arise and take place by us.
Half your suit never named to us, you have half our power. The other moiety, ere you ask, is given.
Repeat your will and take it.
Thank you, Majesty. But you would love yourself. And in that love, not unconsidered, leave your honor nor the dignity of your office as the point of my petition.
Lady mine, proceed.
I am solicited, not by a few, and those of true condition, that your subjects are in great grievance. There have been commissions sent down among them which hath flawed the heart of all their loyalties, wherein, although my good Lord Cardinal, the event reproaches most bitterly on you, as putter on of these exactions, yet the King our Master, whose honor heaven shield from soil, even he escapes not language unmannerly. Yea, that which breaks the sides of loyalty and almost appears in loud rebellion.
Not almost appears. It doth appear. For upon these taxations, the clothiers all, not able to maintain the many to them longing, have put off the spinsters, carders, fullers, weavers, who, unfit for other life, compelled by hunger and lack of other means, in desperate manner, daring the event to the teeth, are all in uproar, and danger serves among them.
Taxation, when? And what taxation? My Lord Cardinal, you that are blamed for it alike with us, know you of this taxation?
Please you, sir, I know but of a single part in aught pertains to the state, and front but in that file where others tell steps with me.
No, my lord, you know no more than others. But you frame things that are known alike, which are not wholesome to those who would not hear them, and yet must perforce be their acquaintance. These exactions whereof my sovereign would have note, they are most pestilent to the hearing, and to bear them the back is sacrificed to the load. They say they are devised by you, or else you suffer too hard an explanation.
But still, exaction. The nature of it, in what kind, let's know, is this exaction?
I am much too venturous in tempting of your patience, but emboldened under your promised pardon. The subject's grief comes through commissions which compels from each the sixth part of his substance to be levied without delay. And the pretense for this is named your wars in France. This makes bold mouths, tongues spit their duties out, and cold hearts free the legions in them. Their curses now live where they're protected. And it's come to pass this tractable obedience is a slave to each insensate will. Would your highness would give it quick consideration, for there is no prime of business.
By my life, this is against our pleasure.
And for me, I have no further gone in this than by a single voice, and that not past me, but by learned approbation of the judges. If I am traduced by ignorant tongues, which neither know my faculties nor person, yet will be the chronicles of my doing, let me say it is but the fate of place, and the rough break that virtue must go through. We must not stint our necessary actions in the fear to cope malicious censurers, which ever as ravenous fishes do a vessel follow that is new trimmed, but benefit no further than vainly longing. What we oft do best by sick interpreters, once weak ones, is not ours, or not allowed. What worst, as oft hitting a grosser quality, is cried up for our best act. If we shall stand still, in fear our motion will be mocked or carped at, we should take root here where we sit, or sit state statues only.
Things done well and with a care exempt themselves from fear. Things done without example in their issue are to be feared. Have you a precedent of this commission? I believe not any. We must not rend our subjects from our laws and stick them in our will. Sixth part of each. A trembling contribution. Why, we take from every tree love bark part of the timber, and though we leave it with a root thus hacked, the air will drink the sap.
To every
every county where this is questioned, send our letters with free pardon to each man that has denied the force of this commission. I pray you look to it. I put it to your care.
Let there be letters writ to every shire of the king's grace and pardon. The grieved commons hardly conceive of me. Let it be noised that through our intercession this revokement and pardon comes. I shall anon advise you further in the proceeding.
I'm sorry that the Duke of Buckingham is wronging your displeasure.
He grieves many. A gentleman is learned and a most rare speaker. To nature none more bound. His training such that he may furnish and instruct great teachers and never seek for aid out of himself. And see, and these so noble benefits shall prove not well disposed, the mind growing once corrupt. They turn to vicious forms 10 times more ugly than ever they were fair. This man so complete, who was enrolled amongst wonders, and when we, almost with ravished listening, could not find his hour of speech a minute, he, my lady, hath into monstrous habits put the graces that once were his, and is become as black as if besmeared in hell. Sit by us. You shall hear this was his gentleman in trust. Of him things to strike honors sad. Let him recount the 4 recited practices. Whereof we cannot feel too little, hear too much.
Stand forth and with a bold spirit relate what you most like a careful subject have collected out of the Duke of Buckingham.
Speak freely.
First, it was usual with him. Every day it would infect his speech, that if the king should without issue die, he'll carry it so to make the scepter his. These very words I've heard him utter to his son-in-law, Lord Abergany, to whom by oath he menaced revenge upon the cardinal.
Please, Your Highness, note this dangerous conception in this point. Not friended by his wish, to your high person his will is most malignant, and it stretches beyond you to your friends.
My learned Lord Cardinal, deliver all with charity.
Speak on. How grounded he his title to the crown upon our fail? To this point hast thou heard him at any time speak aught?
He was brought to this by a vain prophecy of Nicholas Henton.
What was that Henton?
Sir, a Chartres friar, his confessor, who fed him every minute with words of sovereignty.
How knowest thou this?
Not long before your highness sped to France, the Duke, being at the Rose, within the parish St. Lawrence Pulteney, did of me demand what was the speech among the Londoners concerning the French journey. I replied, men feared the French would prove perfidious to the king's danger. Presently, the Duke said 'twas the fear indeed, and that he doubted 'twould prove the verity of certain words spoke by a holy monk, that oft, says he, hath sent to me, wishing me to permit John de la Carr, my chaplain, a choice hour, to hear from him a matter of some moment, whom after under the confession seal, he solemnly had sworn that what he spoke my chaplain to no creature living but to me should utter, with demure confidence this pausingly ensued. Neither the king nor his heirs, tell you the Duke, shall prosper. Bid him strive to gain the love of the commonalty. The Duke shall govern England.
If I know you well, you were the Duke's surveyor and lost your office on the complaint of the tenants. Take good heed you charter not in your spleen a noble person and spoil your nobler soul. I say take heed. Yea, heartily beseech you.
Let him on.
Go forward.
On my soul, I'll speak but truth. I told my lord the Duke, by the devil's illusions the monk might be deceived, and that 'twas dangerous for him to ruminate on this so far, until it forged him some design, which being believed it was much like to do. He answered, tush, it can do me no damage, adding further, that had the king in his last sickness failed, the cardinal's and Sir Thomas Lovell's heads should have gone off.
Ha! What's so rank? Ha! There's mischief in this man. Canst thou say further?
I can, my liege.
Proceed.
Being at Greenwich, after your highness had reproved the Duke about Sir William Bulmer.
I remember at such a time, being my sworn servant, the Duke retained him his. But on hence.
If, quoth he, I for this had been committed, as to the tower, I thought, I would have played the part my father meant to act upon the usurper Richard, who being at Salisbury made suit to come in his presence, which if granted, as he made semblance of his duty, would have put his knife into him.
giant traitor.
Now, madam, may his highness live in freedom and this man out of prison.
God mend all.
There's something more would out of thee. What says?
After the duke, his father, with the knife, he stretched him, and with one hand on his dagger, another spread on his breast, mounting his eyes, he did discharge a horrible oath, whose tenor was, were he evil used, he would outgo his father by as much as a performance does an irresolute purpose.
There's his period, to sheath his knife in us.
If the text call him to prison trial, if he find mercy in the Lord, it is his. If none, let him not seek the rust.
I gave him that. He's traitor to the height.